Hello, welcome to your daily briefing, November the 23rd, 2020. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that we can continue our study today. We thank you that you continue to show us gradually, day by day, all of the things that are taking place as you said they would. We ask, Lord, for the strength that is necessary and for the encouragement that we need so that we might walk according to your will and be totally prepared for what is to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today I'd like to share with you first an article from the America Review, the Jewish Review of America. Actually, the name of the website is America, the Jewish Review. So it is a Jewish website. The date of the article is September the 1st, 2020. And the writer of the article is Gerard O'Connell. That's Gerard O'Connell. The title of the article is Pope Francis. The pandemic has given us a chance to develop new ways of living. Now that title sounds harmless enough, but we shall see where he's going with this. Pope Francis, he says, the pandemic has given us a chance to develop new ways of living. As I said before, it's in the Jesuit Review website, published September the 1st, 2020. The writer of the article is Gerard O'Connell. Here's the article. The coronavirus pandemic has given us a chance to develop new ways of living, Pope Francis said, in a message released by the Vatican on September the 1st, in which he reiterated his call to limit global average temperature rise below 1.5 degrees Celsius, and for the cancellation of the debt of the most vulnerable countries in recognition of the severe impacts of the medical, social, and economic crises that have faced the world since COVID-19. Now, of course, I'm sure you're aware of the fact that the Pope has been talking about this for some time now. And he continues to do that. As a matter of fact, he is now making the point that COVID-19 has given us a chance to change the way we live. Continuing. Pope Francis also advocated the strengthening of national and international legislation to regulate the activities of extractive mining companies and ensure access to justice for those affected, especially indigenous communities. He said they must be protected from corporate misconduct, particularly of multinational companies. Now notice, in his statement here, he's talking about national and international legislation. And of course, you know that we've dealt with before the fact that he's looking forward to a global government, one single government. Not only is he looking towards a global government, but he is looking towards a global religion also. But we'll deal with that. We will continue to take a look at that in the future. So he's saying that there must be a strengthening of national and international legislation to regulate the activities of extractive mining companies and ensure access to justice for those affected. Now listen to what he says next, in the very next paragraph. Here's what he says. The Pope said the COVID-19 pandemic has in some ways given us a chance to develop new ways of living. Indeed, already we can see how the earth can recover if we allow it to rest. The air becomes cleaner, the water clearer, and animals have returned to many places from where they had previously disappeared. Now, all of a sudden, he's talking about the earth resting. And this is just introductory to where he's going to go with this. Continuing. He said, the pandemic has brought us to a crossroads. We must use this decisive moment to end our superfluous and destructive goals and activities and to cultivate values, connections, and activities that are life-giving. We must examine our habits of energy usage, consumption, transportation, and diet. We must eliminate the superfluous and destructive aspects of our economies and nurture life-giving ways to trade, produce, and transport goods. Notice he's dealing now with the global economy, all right? Continuing. He emphasized these issues in a message for the sixth world day of prayer for the care of creation that began today and ends on October the 4th, the feast of St. Francis of Assisi, around the time he is expected to issue a new encyclical on human fraternity. After publishing the encyclical Laudato Si, and that was, of course, a new one that he published in 2016, Pope Francis established this season of prayer, announcing in August that year that the Catholic Church worldwide would recognize September the 1st as a World Day of Prayer, joining an ecumenical celebration of prayer and action for our common home, first started by the Orthodox Church in 1989. Now listen to what else he says. He welcomed this year's theme chosen by the ecumenical family, Jubilee for the Earth, because 2020, he says, marks the 50th anniversary of Earth Day, which began in the United States in 1969. Pope Francis recalled that in the biblical tradition, a jubilee is a sacred time to remember, return, rest, restore, and rejoice. He developed his message around these five verbs. First, he says, a jubilee is a time of grace to remember that we exist only in relationship with God the Creator, with our brothers and sisters as members of a common family, and with all of God's creatures within our common home. Pope Francis recalled that in the biblical tradition, a jubilee is a sacred time to remember, return, rest, restore, and rejoice. He said we need constantly to remember that we are totally connected with God. Next, he reminded people that a jubilee is a time to turn back in repentance. He said, we have broken the bonds of our relationship with the Creator, with our human being, with our fellow human beings, and with the rest of creation. Consequently, we need to heal the damaged relationship, and especially those with the poor and the most vulnerable. He recalled that a jubilee is a time to set free the oppressed and all those shackles in the fetters of various forms of modern slavery, including trafficking in persons and child labor. It is also a time to listen to the voice of creation and remember that we are part of this interconnected web of life, not its masters. Notice now. He's saying that we are a part of the interconnection, and we are not the masters of this. In this context, Francis said, the disintegration of biodiversity, spiraling climate disasters, and unjust impact of current pandemic on the poor and vulnerable, all these are a wake-up call in the face of our rampant greed and consumption. And then he hits us with a very important paragraph. He says this, a jubilee year is also a time to rest. Francis said, he recalled that God set aside the Sabbath so that the land and its inhabitants could rest and be renewed. Yes, he did say Sabbath. But he noted, our constant demand for growth and an endless cycle of production and consumption are exhausting the natural world. He underlined the pressing need to find just and sustainable ways of living without destroying the economy and the ecosystems that sustain us. So now he's saying that he's taking a picture from God's establishing the Sabbath so that the land and the inhabitants could rest and be renewed. Moreover, he said, a jubilee year is also a time to restore the original harmony of creation and to reestablish equitable society, restoring their freedom and goods to all and forgiving one another's debts. So now you're getting a picture of where he's going with this. Pope Francis said, the pandemic has brought us to a crossroads. In this context, he insisted that we should not forget the historic exploitation of the global south that has created an enormous ecological debt, due mainly to resource plundering and excessive use of common environmental space for waste disposal. He identified 2020 as a time of restorative justice and called again for the cancellation of the debt of the most vulnerable countries in recognition of the severe impact of the medical, social, and economic crises they face as a result of COVID-19. Moreover, he said, nations should ensure that the recovery packages be found and focused on the common good and guarantee that global social and environmental goals are met. So that gives you a little bit of the picture of where he wants to go here. And it's pretty clear what he's talking about here. Now notice that in this article, and that's not the end of the article, it's kind of extensive, but notice here, he's talking about a day of rest, a time of rest. And he's putting the context of the rest in the context of the environment. He believes that if we rest and we're not as pushy with our reproductive goals, that the temperature and the land will rest. And he's even copying what God said in his word concerning a year to rest so that the land might rest. Now that article, I would suggest that you take a little time and take a look at it, because it sounds harmless enough until you understand where he's coming from with this. The article is found in the Jesuit Review, and it was published on September the 1st, 2020. It was written by Gerard O'Connell, and the title of it, Pope Francis says, the pandemic has given us a chance to develop new ways of living. Now, in line with that article, I thought I would share with you something else that he said, another article that quotes him, also in the Jesuit Review, same website. But this article was published back on December the 13th, 2017. And the title of this article is Carol Glatz, G-L-A-T-Z. Now listen to the title of this one. Pope Francis says, we need to go to Sunday Mass. We need to go to Sunday Mass. Here's some of that article. Just like a plant needs sun and nourishment to survive, every Christian needs the light of Sunday and the sustenance of the Eucharist to truly live, Pope Francis said. How can we carry out the gospel without drawing the energy needed to do it, one Sunday after another, from the limitless source of the Eucharist, he said. And he said this in December the 13th, 2017. We don't go to Mass to give something to God, but to receive from Him that which we truly need, the Pope said. Sunday Mass is the time and place Christians receive the grace and strength to maintain faith to His Word, follow His commandments, to love one another, and be credible witnesses to the world. The Pope continued his series of audience talks on the Mass in the Vatican Paul VI Hall, which was decorated with a large Christmas tree and a life-size nativity scene. A number of people in the audience hall handed the Pope, who runs 81 on December the 17th, Christmas cards, notes, and a chocolate cake. In his catechism, the Pope responded to the question of why it is so important to go to Mass on Sunday, and why it's not enough just to live a moral life, loving others. Sunday Mass is not simply an obligation, he said. We Christians need to take part in Sunday Mass because only with the grace of Jesus, with His presence alive in us and among us, we can put into practice His commandment and in this way be His credible witnesses. The Christian meaning of the day has been lost and is no longer illuminated by the Eucharist, he says. Just like a plant needs the sun and nourishment to live, every Christian needs the Sunday Eucharist to truly live, he said in summarized remarks to Arabic speakers. What kind of Sunday is it for a Christian if an encounter with the Lord is missing? He asked in his main talk. Unfortunately, in many secularized countries, the Christian meaning of the day has been lost and is no longer illuminated by the Eucharist or lived as a joyful feast in communion with other parishioners and in solidarity with others. Also, often missing is the importance of Sunday as a day of rest, which is a sign of the dignity of living as children of God, not slaves, he says. Without Christ, we are condemned to be dominated by the fatigue of daily life with all its worries and the fear of tomorrow. The Sunday encounter with the Lord gives us the strength to live today with confidence and courage and to move forward with hope, he said. So now you see his point of view. Sunday is necessary. He says it must be done. That's the only way you get strength from God. And he's applying the same principle to the climate, saying we need to relax. We need to rest. We need to take some time off. We need to allow the land to relax. The context is pretty clear, and the direction in which he's heading is even more clear than that. Now, what he's managed to do is he's managed to bind the context of Sunday worship to the context of climate change, or rather, slowing down the destruction of the environment. And you'll find in most of the things that he says, if you read it carefully, you realize that that is exactly the direction in which he is going. Now, I want you to know that this is not something new where he's concerned now, because I don't know if you are aware of the fact that the European Union, that European Union that we talked about before, that was started so many years ago, they have come up with a working time directive, is what they call it. And if you go to the, if you go to the internet, you will be able to find the European Union Working Time Directive. And what you need to put in is the date 1993. Now, there have been some changes since 1993. One of the reasons why they changed it since they originally put it in is because of some of the blowback that they got from some individuals and some corporate entities. But I'm now going to read for you from the Council of the European Union Working Time Directive. And here's what you see at the top of the document. Official Journal of the European Communities, Council Directive 93, as of the 23rd of November, 1993. Now, I'm just going to read from Article 3, because it's quite an exhaustive article, quite an exhaustive directive, let me say. And so in Section 2, it's the head of Section 2 is Minimum Rest Periods. That's the title. Minimum Rest Periods. Other aspects of the organization of working time. And that is Section 2, Article 3. And under the heading Daily Rest, it says this. Member states shall take the measure necessary to ensure that every worker is entitled to a minimum daily rest period of 11 consecutive hours per 24-hour period. So this directive is telling you how you have to treat your workers. The first thing it says that in every 24-hour period, your worker must be given at least 11 hours of consecutive rest. In Article 4, Section 2 says this. Member states shall take the measures necessary to ensure that where the working day is longer than 6 hours, every worker is entitled to a rest break, the details of which, including duration and the terms on which it is granted, shall be laid down in collective agreements or agreements between the two sides of industry, or, failing that, by national legislation. So now, they are stipulating how many hours of rest you should have in any given 24-hour day. They are also stipulating that if you're going to work 6 hours, at least 6 hours, you must have a rest period at some point during those 6 hours. And then we come to Section 2, Article 5, entitled Weekly Rest Period. Member states shall take the measure necessary to ensure that per each 7-day period, every worker is entitled to a minimum uninterrupted rest period of 24 hours plus the 11 hours daily rest referred to in Article 3. The minimum rest period referred to in the first subparagraph shall in principle include Sunday. Now that's written in the Working Time Directive. And they're saying that if you're going to work 7 days a week, you must have 1 day of rest in that week. And if you are only going to have 1 day of rest in that week, it must be Sunday. If you're going to have 2 days of rest in that week, one of them shall in principle include Sunday. Now that's serious. And of course, this goes all the way back to 1993. This is back in the time of the Maastricht Treaty, putting together the whole European Union and making sure that they were stipulating all of what worship was about. Now notice, it does not in the Working Time Directive use the word worship. It does not in the Working Time Directive use the word Eucharist, all right? But it is stipulating that if you are going to be working an entire week and you only have 1 day off, that day must, in principle, be Sunday. And if you have more than 1 day off, then those days must include Sunday. That is not accidental. And this is the direction in which they have been heading for quite a while. And of course, this Working Time Directive still exists. Of course, they had to take the Sunday out because it caused some problems with some of the people in Europe. But you and I know exactly where they're going with this. And it ties in directly with what the Pope has been talking about with climate change. You see, so often we think of a Sunday law as one that stipulates, that begins by stipulating going to church specifically. But I want you to know that that plan is already afoot. And it is now being described at this point in history. It is now being described as a day of rest so that the land might recover and we might recover, etc., etc., etc. God's word has always been precise. It has always been accurate. And you and I need to understand that very soon, all of this will be enforced across the entire planet. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you continue to guide us and to prepare us for the time to come. We long for that day when we can stand with you, knowing that you are standing with us. We ask, Lord, for the strength that is necessary to prepare for that time, that our commitment will be complete, and that we will walk with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This has been your daily briefing, November the 23rd, 2020.